You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Yeah, peace, harmony, pet power. Holy shih tzu, baby. You'll learn how to keep your pets from chewing your shoes or eating your cat. It's all about relationships, baby. You and your pet... pet. So tune in, turn on, and get ready for the positively grooviest pet podcast on the planet. Ooh, that's a lot of peas, baby, isn't it?
What's this show called?
Oh, Behave!
No, really, what's this show called?
Oh, Behave! With your shagadelic host, Arden Moore. What's happening, Arden? Yeah, baby, yeah. Tell us.
Welcome to the Oh, Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I need to fess up. Okay, it's true. I enjoy creating jingles and songs for my pets. I've been doing it since I was a kid with my first pet, a real cool Siamese cat named Corky. If you're lucky, or probably likely unlucky, you might even get to hear some of my songs today, but they're all guaranteed to be probably out of tune. You know, I'm not alone. Many of us enjoy giving our dogs and cats pet names, nicknames, and entertaining them with our attempts at crooning out songs. Fortunately, some do it better than others. On our show today, we have a concert pianist trained at Juilliard School, no less. She knows dogs as well and volunteers to train pups for guide dogs for the blind. She is Lisa Spector. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
So, we're going to get ready to discover the power of music and what it has on dogs right after these messages.
Would you like to go out? Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me. Oh, Behave! We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah.
Will your dog have a bone to pick with you tomorrow? Is your cat planning a hissy fit? Follow the Dog Star to Pet Life Radio for Lucky Stars. Our weekly pet horoscopes. Whether your retriever's a believer or your Pekingese disagrees, this is the place to find out what the stars hold for your favorite furry friend. So pull up a crystal ball every week with your host, international pet astrologer and earth, fire, water, and air Dale, Lucky. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Pets are part of the family, and when traveling with your dog, there's only one magazine to include when packing your doggy's duffel bag, and that's Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. Each bi-monthly issue includes hotel, city, and state reviews, and doggy destinations to explore with your furry companion. Fido Friendly magazine can be found at Borders, Barnes & Noble, PetSmart, Pet Boutiques, and Fido Friendly hotels nationwide. Or you can go online to subscribe at www.fidofriendly.com. So get traveling with your pet today and leave no dog behind. And remember, Fido Friendly's the only magazine dedicated to the travel lifestyle of man's best friend and the one magazine your dog will thank you for.
Ready to take a walk? Not just you, but your whole family. It's the 2008 Whisker Walk, Sunday, June 8th from 9 to 4 at the Lancaster Fairground in Lancaster, Massachusetts. Pet owners and animal lovers walk to lend a paw to benefit the animal shelters and pet charities they love. Come see exhibits, demonstrations, educational programs, special attractions, product giveaways, entertainment, auctions, raffles, food, fun, and things for adults and kids to see, do, and buy, both human and pet-related. Whisker Walk 2008, a fun day for everyone. For more information, log on to whiskerwalk.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah. So let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, behave.
Welcome back to the Oh Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our special guest today is Lisa Spector from Half Moon Bay in California. That's a really beautiful scenic area outside of San Francisco. She is very talented in music and collaborated with a psychoacoustic expert, boy, that's a mouthful, named Joshua Leeds, and a veterinary neurologist named Dr. Susan Wagner, and creating a CD that's supposed to help dogs calm, and it's the power of music. Joshua Leeds and Dr. Susan Wagner co-authored a book called Through a Dog's Ear, How to Use Sound to Improve the Health and Behavior of Your Canine Companion. Lisa, I wanted to ask you, how in the heck did someone who likes to play the piano and loves dogs bump into somebody who spends a lot of time studying human and their health benefits with music from a guy like Joshua Leeds?
Well, it happened about 4.5 to 5 years ago. I own a music school in Half Moon Bay, and I took one of his seminars for teachers and healers, and it was about applying psychoacoustics to my students and how to help them. And I started using the principles that he was teaching, and I very, very immediately noticed the effectiveness of them. And having been and that I am a huge dog lover, I just started wondering how this could be used to help dogs as well. So at the time, I was puppy sitting a very large 9-pound, 90-month-old dog named Tank. You know, if you name a dog Tank, I think you're going to get a large dog. I think 140 pounds, although they expected him to be 60. And yeah, he was a very fun dog, and he'd tear around the living room and happiness. I mean, he was a very happy dog and would run around. And then I would notice when I played the piano and I played certain kinds of pieces on the piano that within a minute, he would just stop dead in his tracks, lie down, and start snoozing within a minute.
And that's nothing disparaging against your musical abilities. It's probably more calming, right?
I never took it personally.
Okay, good. I mean, big dogs are either named things like Tank or Tiny. I never get there's never, you know, a dog name Medium, you know, when they're
right.
That big. But you know, you do have a love of dogs, and I love the name of your dog, Señor Sanchez. Is that correct?
Yeah. He's the love of my life. He's an adorable yellow lab. He's a cutie.
And he actually also responds to your music as well, correct?
He does. He's a wonderful dog. He's a 4.5-year-old yellow lab, and he was a very, very challenging puppy. So I would experiment with him all the time with the music, and he just had a lot of energy, and just noticing the effects of he. I actually got him at the time that we were just really starting this project.
So you're kidding.
No, so although he wasn't one of the official 150 dogs we tested on, he was the constant tester in my life and my awareness of how the music affects him. And now, he every time I play this music that's on Through a Dog's Ear, Music to Calm Your Canine Companion, about 20 to 30 seconds into it, he lies down, he flops over, and he lets out a big sigh. And he does it so well and so consistently that somewhere along the line, someone is going to accuse me of training him to do that. But I haven't. He just does it. It's very funny.
And we all know that labs, their first couple of years, you know, they really put the play in pup. And they seem to have this Duracell amount of energy. And if you have a nice, safe tactic like soothing music to calm the beast inside Señor Sanchez, I'm sure that's going to benefit a lot of our listeners who have those crazy pups right now.
Right, exactly. If it helps him, it's very promising to other dogs.
You know, I have to confess, as a young girl, I had a very cool cat named Corky. And Corky was a Siamese cat that would go swimming with our two dogs, and I don't know. Maybe I was just bored with my life. We didn't have, you know, TiVo and, you know, cable TV and everything. But my cat was, I'm going to embarrass myself, but my cat used to like to go in the litter box and just be so proud of what he did that I sang a little jingle, so you can either just like end this interview right now, but I'm going to sing you the song because I think all of us do sing songs to our pets. Don't you agree, Lisa?
Absolutely, yeah.
So this one will be S-rated for stink, and that one is, I sang, the minute you walked in the sandbox, bowel, I could tell you were the king of the poopers, a real live stinker. Hey there, Corky, spread a little sand for me. I don't know why I remember that song, but can you explain what is this connection we have with our pets that we think we can just inundate them with our songs and our jingles?
Well, we get to practice on them. You know, we get to try things out on them, and they love us anyhow.
I know. I didn't ever put that on my resume. Do you think that was a good thing?
Well, ask your cat.
Okay. Well, he's now in the great beyond. But do you ever sing to your Senora Sanchez?
Probably if I'm not intentionally. Probably if I do, I'm not aware of it. But he gets so much music. In my music school, we have guitar and flute and piano and voice. And he actually has a career change. I'm a former puppy raiser for Guide Dogs for the Blind. So he was career changed, so in the year that I had him where I was training him for guide dogs, he was very fortunate, Doug. He got to go to 7 San Francisco Symphony concerts in the course of the year and 6 San Francisco opera productions and many piano recitals and voice recitals along the way.
You know, in the earlier broadcast with your collaborators, Joshua Leeds and Dr. Susan Wagner, we talked about how sensitive our dogs' ears are. What do you think about this fact that music is science and science is music, and that we're just really just scratching at the surface at how to use that as a therapeutic tool to help our pets?
Well, I think it's, hopefully we are really just scratching at the surface and there is so much more to be determined. But I think the more we are aware of how sound affects us and also affects the animals in our life, the better it is for everyone. And Joshua and Sue may have mentioned, but as you know, when we have sound in our life that creates stress, there's a construction going on. I mean, who can get work done while there's a construction worker outside? We could go to our yoga class, we can meditate, we can drink green tea, but our dogs can't do that. They're just exposed to our sound environment. So it's really important to pay attention to them and the reaction they're getting from the sound and what it's creating in their behaviors.
Is there, if you don't mind, I understand you are in your home right now or your studio?
I am in my music school right now.
Okay, and what's the name of your music school?
Lisa Spector's Music School on Main Street in Half Moon Bay. And Senior Sanchez is a school mascot, so his job is to greet all the students all day long that come and go, and he loves it.
I think
I get half of my business just because of him, really.
Hey, he's fine with that. He thinks you're cool. Is there a passage that you might be able to play for us? And I don't know the best way to do this, to be able to explain to people the power of music for our companion animals.
Sure. In fact, I can take it one step further. In addition to just the power of music, what I will demonstrate here at the piano is, this is a piece that we have taken, a beautiful composition by Bach, and it's the very first prelude from the Well-Tempered Clavier, Book 1, C major. And I'm going to play a tiny bit of just how Bach originally wrote it. So it's a very famous piece and it's very well known, and it's not a complex piece. It's somewhat simple, but when you're listening to it, it creates, your ear is caused to find the pattern in these broken chords. You're always trying to find it where it goes. So that creates active listening. And what we want to do for ourselves and our animals is we want to create passive hearing.
Okay.
So there are two ways we can do that. We can take that same passage and play it in solid chords. But what makes it even more effective is we want to discharge the human and canine nervous system by lowering the frequency of it. So we take it down an octave. So it's like this. And then we slow it down. Okay, so already Sanchez is snoring here. and I'm wondering if any other dogs are out there.
Well, I have a headset on, and I have my little dog Cleo in my lap to keep her from barking at the mailman, and I've noticed that she's starting to chill out, too.
Good.
I opened my headset to have her take a tune in, and if she could, she'd be saying, bravo, bravo, Lisa.
Oh.
It is amazing. You know, you talk about really paying attention to the tempo and the tone, and, you know, in the book, Through a Dog's Ear, music therapy is not a new science, but I believe that the average pet owner is just starting to grasp this ability that music can play in a good way and maybe in an irritating way on our pets, correct?
Right, and that's what we hope this does. We hope this, the book Through a Dog's Ear, really opens up the conversation to the awareness so that people will really start to observe how their music, not only their music, but their sound environment affects their dog. So you might be playing some music that you really like, but while you're doing that, it might be a good idea to pay attention to what your dogs are doing and what your animals are doing.
Now, your musical background, how did you get into the Juilliard School? I mean, you're talking to someone that her music career ended in ninth grade. I was a glockenspielist for my high school band.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't, and my sister was a baritone player. We had the greatest oompa ding ding around, but I just didn't see a career there, you know, and my one shoulder was getting lower than the other because of carrying a glockenspiel and being a very
right.
small person.
Right.
I knew that it wasn't just going to make it. I could do a mean Avon lady sound on my glockenspiel, but my career was pretty much limited. So what was your background like growing up, and what landed you at the Juilliard?
Well, I started piano when I was 7, and I just took to it immediately. My mother started me on piano, and it was kind of by accident, so to speak. My grandparents bought us a small spinet piano, and it was really bought from my oldest sister, who had been requesting a piano and wanted to play and take lessons. So my mother started her, and she thought, well, as long as I'm teaching Pam, I might as well teach Gail and Lisa as the youngest, as the baby of the family. And I got ahead of them very quickly, within about 3 weeks, and you're not supposed to do that when you're the youngest. So they quit.
I know what you mean, yeah.
They quit because I got ahead of them so fast. And then fortunately, my mother had enough musical background to know she needed to send me to a professionally trained teacher. So I got very good teaching early on. And I just, you know, by age 11, I was at the piano 4 hours a day. By age 14, I gave my debut recital. By age 17, I had won a whole list of prizes and was playing with symphony orchestras. And I think when
wow.
I auditioned at Juilliard, I was young enough. I was 17, and I was young enough that I didn't know how hard it was, so I didn't think much of it. I think now it would be very intimidating.
Yeah.
But at the time, I didn't know that my whole life depended on that 15-minute audition.
Wow, that is incredible. You are listening to the O Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our special guest today is Lisa Spector. She's an accomplished concert pianist who also knows the value of companion animals like dogs, and she collaborated with a couple of experts in producing a CD that's designed to help calm our dogs down. The book is called Through a Dog's Ear, and there's a couple of CDs with it. We're going to talk with Lisa right after we take this break.
Would you like to go out?
Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me.
Oh, behave. We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah.
Attention, passengers. Please fasten your seatbelts, put your seatbacks and sleeping pets in their full upright position, and prepare for takeoff.
Pet Life Radio presents Travel Tales, the show where you'll get great travel ideas on perfect places for you and your pet. From Paris to paradise, south of the border to the South Seas, Travel Tales will give you cool tips on fun vacation destinations to travel with your pet, pet-friendly hotels, and advice on how to travel safely and happily with your furry best friends. So, get ready to pack the bags and the bones with your Travel Tales hosts, Susan Sims and Nicholas Veslowski, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Oh. Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet Magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet Magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, behave!
Welcome back to the Oh Behave Show. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Lisa, with a dog named Senior Sanchez, your yellow lab and your piano, I mean, you have two of the best things guests in the world. You've got a dog and you've got the wonderful sound. Can you talk a little bit about the things that might surprise our listeners about why we have to pay attention to certain songs and music? I mean, you're a concert pianist. Like I said, I flunked out as a glockenspielist. We can't become a concert pianist, but is there certain types of music that we might be able to play that could help out our dogs and our cats? And maybe you could even be gracious with another passage, if you would.
Sure, I would love to. I can speak more about dogs right now, just because that's what I've been involved in with these past years, and that's what the research was done on. But I think it's, you know, I've seen everything in dogs, from a dog who would leave the room when Bach and Mozart was being played to that same dog being just howling with happiness when the opening chords of the Greek concerto, when I played that to him. So he was probably the most musical dog I've ever known. He had really distinct taste, and he knew what he liked and he knew what he didn't like. So certainly not every dog is like that. But we have found in the dogs we've tested, and I'm getting, I keep track of all the emails and the responses that come in, and in these testing phases and testing years, I'm still getting emails back from people saying, this is the best thing I've ever done for my dogs. I have not been able to go to a movie for 6 years because I've never been able to leave my dog, and I can finally do that because he's just fine when I leave your music on when I leave the house. Another woman wrote me and said, my neighbors thank you as much as I do because their dog finally stopped barking.
Yeah, I mean, really, your books brought out the fact that one in seven dogs, roughly, has some degree of separation anxiety, and they exhibit that in different ways, from the famous Marley from the book Marley and Me, who would basically eat through drywall and howl when he was left alone in his home, to dogs that are just really traumatically traumatized by thunderstorms. They'll crash through windows, they'll hide in little places. I mean, you know, it's a very serious, no laughing matter that some serious degrees of separation anxieties can really take a physical and mental toll on our dogs. So I do applaud the work that you're doing with Joshua Leeds and Dr. Susan Wagner. You know, did you ever think 5 years ago you might have a role in helping the behavior and the well-being of dogs all over the country?
I have to say, we're talking before the product's even out available to the public. I would say it's taking on a better, a bigger role than I ever could have dreamed of. I mean, I certainly was hoping this would happen, but when I get these emails back and I'm hearing the response, it just completely warms my heart. You know, someone asked me the other day, did you always imagine yourself doing this? And it's not like I went to Julia and I thought, oh, I know, when I become a concert pianist, I'll create music for dogs. So it's not something I always dreamed of. But
well, you know, Colonel Sanders didn't think, oh, you know, when I get to be an old man, I'm going to create a secret recipe. You know,
he didn't do exactly. Exactly. So my fuller response is, even though it's not something I always dreamed of, I can't imagine doing anything in the world that would make me happier than helping so many dogs. And
you know, bringing joy to our dogs, you know, has a payback. It brings joy to us. And I have two dogs, Chipper and Cleo, that love to go to dog parks. So I call it Woof Park. And whenever I say Woof Park, I the ears go up, like Cleo and Chipper's ears are right now. And I actually sing a song. All right, you knew I was going to hit you with another song, right, Lisa?
Right.
Okay, this one's better than the cat one, okay? Because that was as an 8-year-old. All right.
I'm getting ready.
Are you ready? All right. Just close Senor Sanchez's ears in case he gets too pain. Okay. It's, take me out to the Woof Park. Take me out to the dogs. Take off my leash and let me fly so I can play with that lab nearby, because it's paws, paws up for the Woof Park. If we don't go, it's a shame, for it's 1, 2, 3 woofs we shout for the fun dog games. And when I sing that, they squeal like little girls as we head to the dog park.
Right.
But
I'm
feeling good, right?
Right, And they're picking up on that. They're picking up and you're feeling good and they're anticipating something great, the Woof Park.
That's right. So what I'm saying, I guess on a more scientific matter, I'm doing a pretty good job on lowering my blood pressure, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of the things that, on a more serious note, one of the things that the research has shown is that, and it's just so obvious, is that dogs pick up on the energy that is in their environment. So if their person or their people are stressed, the animals are going to be stressed. And if they're calm, the animals are going to be calm. And one of the most wonderful things about this music is that it's just so pleasing to the human ear. Because no matter what, maybe unless you have a border collie, other than that, person's going to put the music on the CD player, not the dog.
Well, yeah, border collies are hairy Einsteins. We all know that. So you were saying that, you know, music and sound does a lot to be like a mood barometer, if you will. So, you know, sometimes I'm goofy and I have high energy, but there's other times that I really want to meditate and be calm. And I notice when I'm very, very quiet, Chipper and Cleo are suddenly just sitting very quietly next to me. It's like they've tuned into my mood, if you will. Is there another passage you might be able to play that sets that calm mood that would benefit dogs that might be a little more on edge and need to just chill out?
Sure. So this is on the last track of Music to Calm Your Canine Companion from Through a Dog's Ear. And this is the slow movement, the middle movement of the Beethoven Pathétique Sonata. And again, I'll do the same thing where I'll play a little bit of how it's originally written. And it's already a slow, beautiful melody, but I'm going to simplify it. So here's the original. So it's very beautiful, but there's still a lot going on. There's that inner voice where it causes your ear to really find that pattern. So I'm going to take out the pattern. So then, and I'm going to slow it down in solid chords. So that's the opening section of the last track of Through a Dog's Ear, Music to Calm Your Canine Companion.
I have to wake up Cleo now. She's sleeping in my lap. Good
you
job.
You can let her sleep.
Yeah, she's good. She's good. You know, it is so nice that something so safe and simple could just bring our give a chill to our dogs without medication and things like that.
Exactly. It is simple. We actually call this music simple sound. And it's not as if it's music that only the dogs can hear, you know, at a high frequency. I mean, it's music that humans can hear and relax to as well, because we really believe strongly in that principle of the dogs will pick up on the human energy.
So what's next? I mean, the book literally just came out with the accompanying CDs, and I'm very fortunate to have you on as a guest, but a lot of people don't know yet about this book, and we're trying to do our small part to broadcast the very important information and help this book and CDs can offer. But what's the plan for the foreseeable future, and what do you see maybe down the road?
Well, it all remains to be seen. It's a little bit like how the creation of Through a Dog's Ear, how it started with one album and then went into the research and phase two of the research and then the book, and, you know, so it keeps growing and growing. But certainly we are very desirous to help animals of all sorts, and we have a shelter program. Did Joshua or Susan talk about that?
No, please share with that.
Well, our
Go
wonderful
ahead.
Publisher of Through a Dog's Ear, Sounds True, has generously volunteered to donate 1,000 CDs to different shelters throughout the country. In combination that the music would be played in shelters, the shelter program is based around the principle of having the dogs listen to the music in the shelter and then sending the music home with the adopters. So that so it transfers their feelings and hopes in easing the transition that they, you know, it's even when dogs go into a home, it's not like they immediately accept it. It usually takes a little while. So we hope that eases the transition. So we are looking at many, many different ways to grow that program.
You know, yesterday, Lisa, I was at an animal shelter in Palm Springs because I was there to do some help for the National Spay Neuter Day, which is now it's in its 13th year.
Right.
And I was thinking to myself, I was actually thinking about your music, because some of the dogs there, you could tell they were a little bit on edge and a little, you know, kind of nervous, and some of the dogs and cats that were coming in that were adopted by people that were participating in this spay neuter day, there you could see the dilated pupils, the lip licking, all the signs that dogs and cats are telling us, saying, I really don't want to be here. And I'm just thinking, we talk about muzak when it's piped into an elevator or in a doctor's waiting room. Wow, it's simple but hasn't been really done. You could be piping in your music in veterinary clinics, waiting rooms, shelters. I mean, the possibilities are just endless.
Right. We are actually looking at ways to, we are already in the start of this, of creating fundraising programs for shelters that don't have sound systems, because we feel like it's such an important part of easing the, you know, taking out some of the stress in the shelter environment. So we're looking at that, and in the start of that program, as well as one of the other things I'm doing that, now this I have to say is something I never imagined in my entire life, but I have to tell you, it's just so much fun.
Okay.
I am starting to give canine classical concerts. So Through a Dog's Ear, canine classical
concerts. Oh my gosh!
In homes and in other facilities where dogs are allowed, where I play this music. So I did one in my house a week ago, and even I wasn't sold on it. I thought, okay, 11 dogs that don't know each other, a new environment. I was a little worried about my dog because I was going to be at the piano, so he wasn't
on leash
or anything.
Well, tell me, set the stage. Yeah, Lisa, set the stage. Describe the type of dogs and temperaments that entered your home.
Oh, it's small to large. The smallest ones are probably the two Pomeranians who hung out on the couch, one in the man's lap and one on the shoulders of the woman, and two small terriers. I had a border collie and an Australian shepherd. I had a lab. I had actually two labs. I had a poodle. You know, a wide variety. Oh, and a very young, a 1.5 to 2-year-old golden retriever.
Okay.
So I had some high energy dogs there. And so even I wasn't really convinced that this would work. This is kind of a trial thing. So I talked about the music and I played it, and within minutes of playing this music, the dogs were just lying down, snoozing, snoring, mellowed out, kind of ignoring each other. you know, just totally ignore each other. It was, even I was kind of shocked with the reaction from the dogs. Now, a lot of them had never heard live piano music. So their first reaction was to perk their ears and look up, and they wanted to know the source of the sound. That's what dogs do. And, but once they knew it was fine, then they, you know, dogs love the vibration of the live piano, and I have a 9-foot piano, so it creates a lot of vibration. And, once they were aware of the source of the sound, they really melded into it. Within minutes, they were all lying down.
Well, I love to listen to El Divo. I think the music is wonderful. You may be the canine version's answer to El Divo. You don't know. You might be going on tour with Senor Sanchez. And hopefully,
oh,
if there's
it.
Any producers out there listening, get a hold of Lisa Spector. She's really doing something pretty amazing. Lisa, we're getting ready to wrap up the show. Please let our listeners know how we can find out more about you through the Dog's Ear CD and you know, other essential things.
Well, you can find all our CDs and book listed at throughadogsear.com, as well as the research is on there, and we've been receiving stories, so that those will be posted soon. And my own personal one site is lisaspector.com, spelled S-P-E-C-T-O-R.
Okay, good. We're listening to the O Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I am very happy, Lisa, that you were able to take the time to be on the show and also enrich our ears with some of the very therapeutic passages. So I thank you very much for being on our show, Lisa.
Thank you. It was just my honor. It was just a lot of fun. Thank you, Arden.
And thanks for tolerating my two songs that probably will never crack the top 1 million, but my pets seem to enjoy it.
That's the important thing.
That's right. That's right. So check out www.throughadogsear.com and also lisaspector.com, and that's S-P-E-C-T-O-R. You are listening to the O Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I am also thankful that my producer has made this show possible. If you'd like to listen to this show or others, just zip over to the website, www.petliferadio.com. So until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words to all you 2, 3, and 4-leggers out there. O Behave!
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Oh, yeah. So stop by our pad every week and get switched on, baby. Switched on to the show that's all about attitude. Oh, behave. With your groovy host, pet edutainer Arden Moore. Yeah, baby, yeah. Every week on demand on PetLifeRadio.com.